The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Good morning. It is Thursday, April 18th. It's 5 minutes after 11. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So the big story this morning is what happened with the Indy Star reporter, Greg Doyle. He admitted that he crossed the line with his interaction with Caitlin Clark during her introductory press conference with Indiana Fever. Welcome to Indiana. Let's get weird.
Yeah, can you imagine? Hey, most famous athlete in the world that every single person who remotely pays attention to sports is talking about. Welcome to our fair city. Mm-hmm. Here's Greg Doyle.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be looking very forward to having to interact with him over the next 15 years as you hopefully build a career in this city.
Or not.
Well, so let's... Okay, why don't we do this? We did this in the first hour. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the reason we're spending so much time on this is a national story.
Yeah, the New York Post has picked it up. I haven't checked the Daily Mail, but I'm sure it's on there.
All sorts of national news outlets are covering this and commentating on it. It's that weird and that bizarre. So why don't we play the audio only first, then we'll explain what he was doing, and then play it again. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, here we go.
Hi. Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
Okay, so the thing he was doing was he was making a heart shape. Mm-hmm. With his hands.
He was making heart hands.
Right. Is that what the children call it?
Yeah.
Heart hands.
Yeah.
Now, this is a man who is your age.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark is your daughter's age.
Yep. So there's at least a 30-year age difference between the two.
Yeah. So this is a grown man, by all accounts, since he introduced himself. Mm-hmm. You assume I see no record they've ever met before. So this is a man who is 30 years older than a college-aged woman who he's never met before. And his introduction to her is heart hands. And I think the creepiest part for me is the here, how he says here.
I'm glad you're here.
Let's listen to it again.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So,
okay, that would be creepy, weird, and awkward if a 50-whatever-year-old man was doing that to a 20-whatever-year-old woman in a bar, right? It would be creepy, weird, and probably you could use the term gross if he were doing that to her in a bar, much less in a professional setting in which she's doing her job, which is greeting the media as the most high-profile athlete on the planet right now, whose job, part of her job, is going to be lifting up the entire city of Indianapolis. And literally, her job will be putting this franchise, the sports franchise, which has fallen on all sorts of hard times, back on the map and in front and center nationally. And so this is her introductory press conference. This guy works for the paper of record in the city of Indianapolis, and this is his representation as the columnist for the paper of record, is that interaction right there.
So she doesn't know him. He's being very familiar with her, and she doesn't know him. And by doing that, he inserted himself into the story, which is something reporters don't ever want to do.
Now, in fairness, he is a columnist, which is a little different than somebody who, it's like, we are commentators, we're different than journalists. But you're right, he doesn't know her. There's no familiarity. Like, he's not some old family friend or some guy who covered her at Iowa for years.
Right, I was going to say, he's not even somebody from Iowa. He's not like from the Des Moines Register or something.
And you could tell, and you backed me up, and I'll turn this back over to you for this, because you're obviously the woman of the show. So you're the woman expert of the show.
Yeah, thank you for noticing.
She was totally creeped out by the interaction.
Yeah, it seemed like it. She was adjusting her posture. She kind of looked down. She went back to the microphone to kind of move it around. And as she mentioned, that was something that she did to her family. People that she was close to, people that she knew. And he goes on to say, start doing it to me and we'll get along fine.
Yuck.
Okay, first of all, it's, you know, her way of acknowledging her family, a symbol of love from the court. Hey, I see you. You're supporting me. Back at ya.
And it wasn't like he asked a question about it. It wasn't as though he said, he does the heart symbol, go, can you explain what this is and why you do it and why it has meaning to you?
What?
That's perfectly fine.
Who is this directed to?
Right.
And that's where she took it. Oh, you like that? Yeah, I do that to my family.
But it
my
was,
family.
But it's she stopped just sort of saying, yeah, my boyfriend is really impressed by, you know, if you're at a bar, like you've always seen this where you're at a bar and somebody's trying to hit on a chick and she's clearly not having any of it. And she'll drop the, yeah, my boyfriend or, mm-hmm. you know, the guy I'm engaged to or whatever it might be to try to get away from the person. That's what that really sounded like, right? Like you like that. Well, that's for my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
right.
not going to be for you, Greg, Mr. Guy I've never, you know, have no interaction with whatsoever.
Don't know it all. Start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. Like he's saying, I'm the man in this town that you need to impress and you need to be beholden to. I'm the premier sports writer in this town. We'll get along fine if you treat me nice. Like she doesn't need him. He needs her.
Totally.
And, you know, Hammer was in earlier and we were joking about he was giving me a hard time about meeting Chuck Pagano, former NFL Colts.
By the way, real quick, we did not give Hammer a chance to promote his show at the end of the segment. So we should remind everybody, Hammer and Nigel show 3 to 7 today.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Kendall will go off the rails. Now
yeah.
continue.
Okay. But Hammer was joking, saying that I was, you know, I was coming on to Chuck Pagano and flirting with him. I was not. But even if I was, it was a different situation because we were both off the clock.
Right.
Now, in this situation...
You're also the same age.
Well, a lot closer than 30 years. So, Greg Doyle is there representing the newspaper.
Right, that's correct.
And she's there representing the Indiana Fever. They're both in a working environment.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, it's a press conference, maybe a little lighthearted. Not that lighthearted.
No.
He crossed the line. He said it. He said, after going through denial and then anger, I'm on the wrong side of this. Me, again, interjecting himself into the story, making himself the story, which is so shameful for Caitlin Clark, because she just is coming to town, introducing herself at the professional level of basketball with the weight of the world mostly on her shoulders for the WNBA at this point. And it starts off like this.
And let's put some perspective on it. She probably, after that interaction, walked off stage and was like, who in the F was that weirdo? And do I have to deal with him anymore? But I'm sure she's not sitting around thinking about it today. And it's not like something that's predominantly, it is. I'm sure it's been reminded to her because it's a national story. I mean, mm-hmm. it's all many, many people are talking about. And it's a huge embarrassment for Doyle and Indy Star. But it's not something a week from now, other than if she ever has to interact with this guy again, that she's going to be,
you know, think more reporters are asking her today
about
what she thought of it.
I'm saying to her, like when she woke up this morning, mm-hmm. this was not some horrifically traumatic experience that she had nightmares about or will have nightmares about. Certainly, it will probably remain a story for at least maybe the foreseeable future, the next couple news cycles or whatever, because national media are covering it, et cetera. And she's gracious enough and appears to be a good enough person that she'll probably give him some cover and brush it off. And here was what was interesting to me, though. He said something like he was a part of the problem in his apology.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was the verbatim. It's no, you are the problem. I'm not the problem. Casey's not the problem. Kevin's not the problem. Every other reporter in that room was not the problem. You're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You did it. You knew this woman was coming to this city for whatever, 2 months or however long it was since the Fever got the number one pick. You had all that buildup to figure out what's the first question I'm going to ask Caitlin Clark. And that's what you came up with? That was what you had? You had months to figure it out? And Doyle deserves all this because Doyle's a grenade thrower. Doyle's a judger. Doyle's a person who puts on some phony moral high horse and all feeling, all thinking, all knowing, and sits in judgment of other people all the time. You are the problem, Greg. And the fact that Indy Star, and I think this is the biggest issue because there are some really good reporters still left over there at Indy Star. They can do good journalism when they want to. But you have made this guy a face. He's a terrible writer. He's not likable. He's not relatable. He delves into all sorts of areas that totally alienate your audience because he injects his politics and personal beliefs into things that have nothing to do with sports. And he's a big reason your paper's in the toilet. He's a big reason you're having the financial issues you are, because you make people like him the face of the newspaper. Nobody other than people who share his views and leanings want to engage. There were all sorts of things when Bill Benner or Bob Kravitz were the lead writer over there at IndyStar that I would read that I didn't agree with. But I'd still read them again because they were interesting. They were thought-provoking. They didn't come off as complete creepy weirdos. And Greg Doyle, who yesterday came off as a complete creepy weirdo, is the face of your newspaper.
Well, he took the focus away from what the story was.
Yeah.
That it was her first moment in Indianapolis. She had just met the general manager and her coach, and she's being presented to the public as an Indiana Fever player. That's not the story now. The story is how this guy was creepy to her. He goes on to say, "I now realize what I said and how I said it was wrong, wrong, wrong. I mean, I was just wrong. Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry." Like, again.
She needs his apology.
Enough with it already. And he just kept posting and reposting and column coming. And it's like, dude, now you're trying to get it for clicks?
Yeah.
Just stop. Just stop.
All he would have had to say afterwards, and I don't even know, and this would be the interesting thing. I don't even know in what world you would get cover, because it's so, even if there was no, take away the creepiness or the you're 50 whatever and she's 20 whatever and she doesn't know you, you're fanboying for a 22-year-old girl? Mm-hmm. Like, what? And you're supposed to be a person who covers sports? Like, what sort of sports columnist are you where this person just arrived here and you're fanboying for the people you're supposed to cover? What? I mean, there is no good excuse for it. Even like the least creepy of the excuses.
It's a little biased, right?
Right. It's like, what? Okay, so I guess we're not going to get any sort of, you know, honest assessment out of you. I mean, look, she is a 22-year-old or 23-year-old or whatever she is woman who doesn't even have a college degree yet, who has all sorts of unreasonable expectations placed upon her. The reality is in the on-court performance, she's probably not going to be able to live up to that, because almost no person could probably live up to that. You pointed out how astutely yesterday how long it took even Michael Jordan to start living up to the expectations that were placed.
Jordan was in the NBA for what, five seasons?
Years
before he started turning around?
Yes, he was drafted in 1984 and they didn't win a championship until the early 90s.
Right.
And it didn't happen until he got Scottie Pippen and then they brought in, you know, obviously Horace Grant and all these other. So she's probably not, of no fault of her own, going to even be able to live up to the expectations put upon her. And again, I just, IndyStar, you got to stop making this guy the face of your newspaper.
So Sage Steele weighed in on it, and she said that he's been unprofessional for years, and not only does he get away with it, he gets rewarded. Unprofessional, inappropriate, unfair, judgmental. Just do your job and stop trying to be funny. And then she said, this air quote man is another example of why no one trusts the media anyway. And it's a good point. It just makes the media look bad.
Which is wild.
And it also just shows the unseriousness that people take women's sports. And if you think, I mean, she's worked hard. You've heard interviews of her saying since she was in second grade, she wanted to come to the WNBA. And she worked hard to do it. And she's making her dream come true. It's coming to fruition. And then this guy does this unserious question about the sport of it.
Well, and then the apology and the blubbering. And then, like you said, it almost comes off as clickbait afterwards. All he would have had to say afterward, which, again, there's no excuse for what he did. It's weird. It's creepy. It's, I mean, and even if it were he's trying to fanboy, you're fanboying for a woman who's 30 years younger than you. I mean, that's weird, too. But all he would have had to say is, hey, that was totally inappropriate. It didn't come off as I wanted to. I understand why anybody might be offended. I'll definitely do better next time, and onward and upward. Mm-hmm. But it's the way it gets drug out in this big thing, and I'm part of the problem. I'm this.
I was
no,
wrong,
you're the problem.
Wrong.
You are the problem.
Like the gushing.
And like I said, there are still some good reporters over there at IndyStar. There's people we've had from IndyStar on our show before who do fine work when they want to, but that guy makes your paper look horrible. And we'll see how the Star responds to this, because, you know, they're the first to condemn. All they're condemners, right? And we'll see how they handle Greg. Does he get suspended? Do they formally reprimand him? Do they publicly reprimand him? Or are they just going to, when it's one of their guys, are they just going to sweep it under the rug?
Well, you know, I can tell you from a management perspective, they could go two ways. They could go with, yeah, we need to part ways. This is, we don't want this. Or they can say, there's no such thing as bad publicity, and he's getting that.
Yeah, and I, you know me, I always lean into the absurd, but this is, I just don't think this is probably what you wanted.
It's Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You often ask, where does the money go?
Yeah, where's it all go?
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. Do you remember back in the day when Tom Brokaw was anchoring the nightly news? He would do a segment called The Fleecing of America.
I was a small boy.
Yeah.
You were a little older than I was, so you probably have a better memory of that. But yes, I do remember my grandparents would watch Tom Brokaw every night.
Yeah, he would do the segment about where does the money go? Pretty much the same question that's been asked for years. And you've heard about things about a $1,000 toilet seat that the government pays for. But we've got a new version.
Oh,
and
how
this
exciting.
One is a bag of bushings.
Now, bag of what?
A bag of bushings. I'm not sure what a bushing is. I looked it up. It mostly looks like a nut, like a bolt. And a nut.
Okay.
You know, like hardware, tools, right? So this happened yesterday, and it's Congressman Waltz. He's asking someone from the Air Force how much they paid for a bag of bushings, and you'll be surprised at what they paid for them.
This, Mr. Secretary, is a bag of bushings. This bag of bushings, stamped out by machinists. They need a high school diploma. It's not anything high tech about this. All of this bag is compliant with the FAA specifications. How much do you think the Air Force pays for this bag of bushings?
I don't know, Congressman.
$90,000. This is a $90,000 bag of bushings that you need for any jet turbine engine just to operate. So the exorbitant cost due to DOD only buying commercial parts from the OEMs, which is essentially sole source, is literally driving us out of business. I mean, the interest on our debt alone is now exceeding, for the first time in American history, the entire defense budget. We can't afford it anymore.
So the government paid $90,000 for a bag of bushings that normally cost $100. That's where the money goes, Rob.
Yeah, and you know, this is what's crazy when you see these, and it's Republicans and Democrats alike, talk about these doomsday scenarios if there's any cuts to the government. And people are getting crushed because of the decisions these people have made. People are unable to afford food because of the decisions these people have made. People are unable to afford rent because of the decisions these people have made. And yet, whether it is the national level or the local level, because the argument is equally as ridiculous locally as though there wouldn't, if you did anything with property taxes, there wouldn't be a policeman on the street or a fireman in the firehouse or a road would cease to exist or your toilet wouldn't flush. The arguments, the doomsday scenario arguments, are pathetic. We have a $44 billion budget in this state. $44 billion for a state of 7 million people. And yet at the crisis point, we're especially the elderly and the fixed income people are concerned about Jim Merritt's parents' property tax went up $1,000, Casey. $1,000. And yet nobody's helping. And this, you know, this interaction here, okay, you exposed it. But what do the Republicans do every time they have an opportunity to cut this crap off?
Right.
Whether it's debt ceiling or government funding, they just vote for the same stuff. I think that is what is most frustrating to so many of us, is there's nobody we can turn to and go, okay, this person's on our side. There's nobody locally we can turn to. There's nobody at the state we can turn to. There's nobody nationally. Nobody is willing to raise their hand and say, I will die on this hill for you. And we're just continuing to march towards a path of oblivion.
Well, when you talk about the House, the keepers of the purse, so the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he said he's going to take a personal risk and he's going to keep pushing ahead with his plans for a House vote for more foreign aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. He said, my philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may.
See the right thing? They view giving this printed money to foreign and you think the waste is bad in this country where there's some moderate, small amount of oversight. Think about what's going on in these foreign governments. How much money did the FTX guy end up with from the Ukrainian government?
Yeah.
And how much money that ended up then back in the hands of Democrat candidates running for public office?
Who have not returned any of that money.
We're trying to be more positive these days, but you feel it every time you go to the, I went to the grocery store yesterday, Casey, and I bought, let's see what I buy. I'll try to do the exact list here.
Oh.
I bought a bag of dog food.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a pallet of bottled waters. I bought a little pint of ice cream. I bought a thing of protein bars. I bought a 2 liter of Sprite. A 2 liter of Sprite is $2.62 at Walmart.
$2.62. Used to be 99 cents.
Yes! Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. And a thing of orange juice. I think that's it.
So five items. Don't tell me.
Six items total.
Six items. One, two, three, four.
Now, it was a somewhat sizable bag of dog food, but not a gigantic bag of dog food.
Yeah, that's the tough one that's going to get me is the dog food. I'm trying to add it up here.
$78.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. You're buying top shelf dog food. It's got to be the dog food, right?
Well, I mean, it's not. It's
How
not,
much was but, the ice cream? Do you remember?
It was four. I don't buy the nice stuff. It was $4.24, I think, or something like that.
For a little pint.
No, I'm sorry. It was not a pint. It was not a tub though. It was
a quart.
Quart. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. You're just looking around at this like what is even.
Mm-hmm.
What is even? And I went down the candy aisle and I was going to buy a thing of mints, the chocolate covered mints, and it was like more than $4, and I was just simply put it back and said I cannot.
No, well, you already had ice cream, so you didn't need that too.
I did buy, and shame on me. I bought 3 cans of soup too, so that was included
right,
in there.
Right, so you got some protein in there. That's good. Wow, $78. But that's the thing. That's what is happening is there were some items that you were like, oh, I want this, but you had to put it back.
And
people are making choices.
Our friend Jeff Gettle is right. Yes, we normally buy the dog food at Costco. However, I was not going all the way. I was trying to just do an emergency grocery store run. And so I will have to max that out. And I'm hoping if I do this right, the dog food and the diapers are going to run out at the same time, so then I can go to the third ring of hell known as Costco and get it all at one time.
Yeah. It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. Following up on a few stories, Donnie Burgess from 93 WIBC just tweeted this out. He said, as expected, Delphi Judge Fran Gull has denied a media outlet from broadcasting this trial. This time, it's our news gathering partner, Wish TV. Gull's court staff said she's likely to deny all requests for broadcasting the trial to protect the jury and the witnesses.
Unbelievable. This is arguably the biggest case in the history of the state of Indiana. There's all sorts of questions already about transparency, about ethical behavior, about bias from the judge, from prosecutors, from the police.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you want everything to unfold in public so that everybody can see, hey, everything was above board. We don't need interpretations from reporters. It's just unbelievable to me that at every turn, it seems like they are going out of their way. All these agencies go out of their way to prevent the public from knowing what's going on. So what? The trial of the century in the state of Indiana, mm-hmm. one of the most high-profile covered events in the history of the state of Indiana. And we're going to be relying on what? Artist renditions and court and people like Donnie have to go with a pad of paper and a fedora and make hand notes.
With his pencil in his hat.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
The judge's court staff also said that the Carroll County Courthouse isn't big enough to fit all media inside with their equipment.
Then have a pool. Have a pool of reporters each day on who gets in. I'm sure they could come up with some sort of agreement. We're going to have a hard camera and whatever.
Everybody gets the same feed.
Right, exactly. Camera. That's bull. That's complete bull that they're using that as an excuse. You know, limit it who can get in. That's fine. I understand that. I think most people would. But it's like every turn we go out of our way, these people go out of their way to deny the public who has a vested interest in knowing what's going on.
I think it's also interesting that they said they can't fit all the media equipment inside. MMJs now report just with their phones. Multimedia journalists, they just take their cell phone.
Casey, they could. They don't want to. She doesn't want to. They could do it. There's zero reason. And now the law that was recently passed and the courts are in support of it. The courts made the law. In fact, the state Supreme Court, that now these trials could be filmed. It's given access. It was a very good thing the state Supreme Court did moving forward with trials being able to be filmed and broadcast. We should want that in the courtrooms. We should want the transparency. There's no, you don't, jurors' privacy or whatever. Don't put the camera on the jury. Just have a hard camera focused on the witness in question. This is just unbelievable. And it will continue to feed. It will continue to feed doubt. It will continue to create resentment. And whatever happens here, many people are going to believe it's not on the up and up.
And they'll question it for years.
Absolutely.
And then conspiracy theories will just grow.
I guess it's going to make the Donnie Burgesses of the world, mm-hmm. who I'm sure he'll be there covering it, all that more important, but man, that sucks.
Abdul's going to join us next on 93 WIBC.
Yeah, we're going to get into the governor's race. We're in the home stretch. Can any of these people make a move on Braun? We'll find out. We'll ask Abdul coming up.
It's 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy. But Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I've got to follow that dream wherever that dream may lead. I got to follow that dream to find the love I need. When your heart gets...
Oh, my goodness, look who it is. 93 WIBC. It is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob Casey here. He's an author. He's a broadcaster. He's a provocateur and the owner and operator of IndiePolitics.org. The one and only Abdul Aqib Shabazz. Hello.
My friend, how's it going? I'm getting all ready for the primary.
Oh,
yay. I never knew a black man could be so happy. Can't you see the smile on my face? I'm just so fabulous.
It is exhausting, isn't it?
With a capital E, exhausting.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, at this point, and you had mentioned on State House Happenings, which we taped this morning, you're going to all these forums and these candidate meet and greets, and it all just kind of sounds the same.
Because it is. It is. And actually, it's funny because fundamentally, the messages haven't really changed all that much. I'm an outsider. Axe the tax. Proven conservative leadership. The Lord led me to do this. I mean, I could write their speeches in like 5 seconds because, now granted, it's a different audience every time, so it's the first time that the audience is probably hearing that particular candidate's message. But for someone who's been following these guys, you know, pretty much since November, and some of you a little before that, it's like, okay, all right, let's just get through Axe Attacks one more time.
You know, I was thinking about this because you and I got into this with State House Happenings too, which is I'm getting a lot more mailers than you are because I live in Hendricks County, which is all Republican. You live in Marion County, where it's, you know, there are very few contested Republican races. And it's like you're getting these mailers and they're just there's nothing I read, and granted, I'm more into it than the average person, but there's nothing I read and go, man, I really believe in this person. Like there's not a single mailer or ad or anything I've seen where you go, yeah, that's something I can really get fired up about. This person's going to go to bat for me.
I want to say the research shows it takes about 7 mailers to have an impact, which is why you get so many of them in your mail. And then there's also about how mail should be put together. It should be, you know, quick, short. You have to sit there. It should be like a library book, like, 2-point font in old English manuscript, Aramaic. Look, I believe 15, boom, 10 commandments. None of that, because people don't have a whole lot of time.
Right.
A good picture, 3 points, go to blah, 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 or scan the QR code to go to my website.
I always tell people, you got 3 topics to grab people's attention as they're taking that thing from their door or mailbox to the trash, and your campaign is going to live or die on those 3 things. So when you put the time into it, put the time in at the beginning to figuring out what your 3 or 4 topics are, and you are not getting off that for the next 4 or 5 months. But I'll tell you what, I feel like this governor's campaign is really kind of underwhelmed. I thought, man, it was going to be haymakers, and it was going to be people lighting each other on fire, and it was good. I mean, it's been kind of boring. I got to be honest with you, I've been kind of bored.
I've been watching a lot of television lately. The governor's race is officially ugly.
Is
like,
it?
Like ugly.
Who's
on an
Who's being
eight.
Ugly?
You got Brad Chambers, and you got Eric Doden and Mike Braun, all the sort of the 3 bajillionaires.
Yeah.
Fighting and hitting each other on Black Lives Matter, on, the Leap districts and all that other stuff. So you got that going on.
Does any of that register with anyone?
I think what they're doing is trying to. I think they're sort of doing a reverse undecided voter targeting. If that makes sense.
What in the world did you just say?
Yeah, think about that as myself. What you're trying to do is
the Goodwill Hunting thing,
and more like A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, I see.
I think what they're trying to do is like, hey, we know a third of the population, the third of primary voters are undecided, anywhere from 30 to 35%. They may not vote for me, but let's make sure they don't vote for him.
Oh, this is like I may not answer the bell, but you're not going to answer the bell either.
Right. You may walk over, but you'll limp away.
Yeah.
Pick the used metaphor of your choice.
Yeah. It's just like we were talking with Nikki Kelly yesterday, and there's going to be probably more than $40 million spent on this governor's race. And if I'm somebody who didn't win, let's end up saying it's one of the, kind of 3 second-tier people that your poll had, whether it's Crouch, it's Doden, it's Chambers. At least with Crouch, it ain't her money. But if you're Doden or you're Chambers, and you, let's say they end up spending $10 million each, don't you look around and go, what did I get for this?
Oh, you got a big tax deduction because you loaned your campaign all the money.
Oh, I see. But I mean, like, what? It just seems like there's been a lot of money wasted. These ads, they don't stand out to me. Now, granted, I don't have cable, so I don't see them as often as other people. But, like, the Raju ad. Whatever you want to say about Raju, that's a heck of a creative ad. And you know when they put that thing together, they were like, people, suckers like Rob Kendall are going to chuckle at this, and we're going to get a ton of earned media. And it worked. Now, is he going to win? Probably not. But the only, it's way better than the China Chuck or the Victoria's a Lunatic ads that are running, because people are like, that's cool, that's funny, you can sing along with it. Most of these ads on the governor's race.
Even Curtis Hill has a sing-along ad out there.
Hey, now he can't get on airwaves anywhere, apparently, because you don't hear it or see it. But I'm amazed with all the money that's spent. They got these big firms and everything else. Just the total kind of lack of rememberable that has been, or creativity that has been in these ads.
I will say the most creative ad I've seen in the past 10 years here in the state of Indiana was the Mike Braun, Todd Rokita, Luke Messer.
Yeah.
They were cardboard cutouts. That was one of the most brilliant. They were in the blue shirt, their blue suit, white shirt, red tie.
Yeah.
And I knew that ad was effective when my wife was like, honey, that's actually pretty good. My wife can't stand politics. And when Mike Braun is sitting in the diner and looks back at the Rokita cut, I was like, hey, you're kind of quiet back there. It's been, 6-8 years since that ad came out? And I still remember that, because that's an effective ad. It's humorous, and you make your point, and you actually have you facing and your opponents facing it too, to show, hey, these guys are just basically a couple of Wabash cutout grads.
Are you surprised at how uncompetitive this primary has been, given all the money spent? I mean, Braun has always been in the lead. Your poll shows he has lost some ground, as other polls have shown. But he's really still, according to your poll, got basically a 20-ish point lead. You're not making that up in 2 or 3 weeks, especially when there's three people trying to make it up.
It is the inclined plane gets steeper and steeper every day.
You're right.
Like I said, at first, like, you know, the 30 degree angle, now it's like, no, 60. Pretty soon, you know, it's 90 degrees. You know, good luck. Like I said, is there still a path to victory? I think there is, but you really got to hit those undecided voters and coalesce them all around you, which is why I said it's sort of reverse voter suppression. You may not vote for me, but you're definitely not going to vote for Ra by the time I'm done with him.
Abdul is here with us, a couple minutes left with him. You and I had this conversation on State House Happenings about people. My new theory on it, and Casey, I got into this earlier in the show, is this. If you invite a vampire into your house, you can, and not only do you invite the vampire into your house, and you not only do that, you say, here's my neck, you cannot be surprised when the vampire bites you. And I am amazed at the amount of people who are on these local races or the governor's race. They're endorsing people, supporting people who have a track record of raising your taxes and of growing the government. And they will be the very first people, Abdul, who come next year when the General Assembly does what the Republican Party keeps doing, which is raising taxes and growing government, who will be living on social media. And I've told these people, I'm keeping a list and checking it twice. I am Santa Claus going forward, because I'm going to remember all you people because I warned you and you did it anyway because you're my friend, or he went to school with my brother, or whatever it might be. I am amazed at the unwavering loyalty to people, even if people know they're going to screw them over.
What do people do out in Hendricks County all day?
Why, it ain't just Hendricks. It's everywhere.
What do people do all day long? I got work to do. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, like I said before, during State House Happenings, voting is an emotional process. It really is. People vote or support who they like. They vote against or oppose who they can't stand. Now, why do you like somebody? It could be their position on taxes, on roads, on infrastructure, on education. The policy could be the reason why you like them, but fundamentally, you vote for people who you like and against people who you can't stand. And what you find is, even if you don't necessarily agree with the person's policy position, you'll give them a second look if you actually like them. So you cannot ignore that emotional connection, you know, in our politics. It's that.
I just blown away. I said, you know, like the one that gets me more than any is Braun. Braun's total track record in the General Assembly was voting for tax increases and more spending. And then he runs against the exact opposite. And then people go, he's a conservative. Based on what? He told me. Oh, okay. I said, I'm keeping the list of your name. You're on the list now. And you don't get to complain next year when the exact same stuff happens that happened before.
So you're actually looking for consistency in politics, son?
Well, I supported you.
Well, you're looking for consistency in politics, son? Oh, my God. Somebody in Washington broke a lie. Told a lie. I'm shocked. There's gambling going on in here.
All right. Hey, what's coming up this Saturday at Abdul at Large?
We'll be talking to our good friend Andy Downs, the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics, just about sort of the state of Indiana's economy right now. Also, we have a conversation with Chris Lowry. He is the head of the Commission of Higher Education. Lots of things going on in higher ed here in Indiana.
Find him at indypolitics.org. You can hear him Saturdays, 1 to 3, Abdul at Large. Here on WIBC, Abdul Kim Shabazz, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Casey, great job as always. Kevin, thank you. And thank you most importantly to you, the listener. Without you, there is no us. Stick around. Tony Katz coming up next. Kendall and Casey, 93 WIBC.